welcome back to Between Two Wings. I am your host, Emily Norman, and today we have Travis Ludlow with us. He is a pilot in the UK, and he is about to set off on a huge adventure to become the youngest person to fly solo around the world. Travis, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I know you are leaving in a few short days, so I'm sure your schedule is very hectic.
Hi, Emily. Yeah, no, thank you for having me on. It's great talking to you as always. And it's very hectic, actually. Today, I've been buying stuff, last minute stuff for the trip. And I did a BBC interview earlier today as well, which was exciting. I'm leaving this coming Thursday. So Thursday, the 27th of May. So it's really soon. And everything's just crazy right now. But I'm so excited to go.
Yeah, I can imagine. You must be feeling so many different emotions right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm more excited than I am scared or nervous. But you know, I'm still a bit nervous for flying into these countries that, you know, who knows what it'll be like in these places. So I'm a bit nervous for that. But I'm really looking forward to it, and I can't wait to finally get a set off and finally make this dream a reality.
Definitely. And I see you have your route right behind you. But before we jump into that, let's talk a little bit about the requirements you have to meet to break this world record.
Sure. Yeah. So to break the world record of the youngest person to fly solo around the world, you need to be flying in a single engine aircraft, maximum gross takeoff weight of something like less than 12,000 pounds or something like that, I'm pretty sure. So obviously in a Cessna 172, I'm way below that limit. But as well as that, I also need to circumnavigate the globe, basically, you know, equal all the distance I fly to the tropical Cancer. So that's 21,520 miles or thereabouts, which means technically I could fly up to the North Pole, circle the North Pole once, and just zigzag until I've done 21,520 miles. Obviously, that's not very fun. It's a lot more fun just to fly around the world and see all these crazy places and meet all these people, and obviously you need to be younger than the current world record. So that's how you get it.
Yeah, and I know you've had to postpone your trip, but you're still just a smidge bit younger than the person who holds the current record. So you're good to go.
Well, the youngest person actually right now is someone called Mason Andrews. He was 18 years and 163 days old, and I was planning to beat it. I was planning to do it when I was 17. I was hoping to absolutely smash the record. But unfortunately, coronavirus got in the way. That was last year. I was planning to leave. It's actually, you know, a bit of a blessing and as well, because it's allowed me to get a lot more experience, allowed me to fly around the world in a better aircraft. Actually, the Cessna 172, in my opinion, is better than the Piper PA-28.
As I'm sitting in front of one, it's my background, a PA-28.
Yeah, no offense or anything, Evan.
All good. I know it's slower. It's okay.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it was like 50,000 or something of them have been built. So, you know, no matter where I am flying, you know, in the middle of Timbuktu, I can still get, you know, parts for it. So it's perfect aircraft when you're flying around the world.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You were going to fly a PA-28 and then you switched to a 172. How has that, you know, last minute transition been for you?
It's actually been pretty good. I've basically done most of my hours in PA-28s, quite a few hours as well in the 152. I did actually my first solo in a Cessna 152. So the transition over to the 172, it felt different of course with the PA-28, but with my experience of the 152, it just felt like a bigger, you know, 152, like a PA-28 and a 152 had a baby, but a big baby.
So, definitely. Yeah, well, if you solo in the Cessna, it's only fitting that you fly around the world solo in a Cessna as well. So kind of, you know, zoning in on the past few months and weeks, what have been the main things that you've been doing while you're flying or even on the ground prepping, you know, to get ready for your departure?
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of instrument flying. So, up in the airways here in the UK, It's in the UK, you get class alpha airspace at for anywhere from 2,500 feet up. So it's pretty exciting here, because instead of having class Bravo shells, we have just class alpha shells. So it's pretty difficult, but when you're flying IFR, you're always in class alpha airspace. It's actually very safe, and you don't have to follow the airways. You can route between just waypoints and go between VORs and your GPS waypoints. And on the ground, I've been studying really the airspace, studying how to use the avionics in my aircraft, and the autopilot, and making sure that I've got all the documentation I need, all the legal stuff, my licenses and everything are already in my logbook, medical, and just talking to other past Earthrounders to give me experience. I spoke to Ryan Campbell not too long ago, and Mason Andrews as well. He's given me a lot of experience. So, making sure that I'm just as safe as possible and as ready as possible as I can be for this trip.
And we all want you to be as ready as possible before you leave later this week. So, okay. Just talking about the flying a little bit, it's basic stick and rudder wherever you are in the world, but even your point of different airspaces, every country is different. They have their own regulations and rules. How have you prepared yourself to fly in all these different countries, or what resources or organizations have helped you for the planning on that side?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of help from flight support company from General Aviation Support Egypt. They've given me a lot of assistance with all the planning, as well as that MAK General Aviation Services have been recently. We just got the routings in for my flights in Russia, so that's all been approved. And in Russia, actually, it's pretty simple. You just follow the airways, do what air traffic control says, and that's it. I've already got my clearances for the routes, and I'm two weeks in advance, so that's pretty easy there. It's I think the most difficult part is actually just going to be the initial European bit, where in the Netherlands it's all the airspace is class Echo, but then you cross over the border into Germany and it's class Charlie airspace, and it's I, as long as I'm flying IFR, I feel like they'll hand me over and it should be simple enough if I'm flying IFR, and especially with the Jeppesen International IFR map on charts on my full flight on my iPad. I think as long as I follow that and do what it says and use it to help me with my planning, it should be okay.
Yeah, definitely. And let's dive in a little bit on your route that's posted right behind you, very well mapped out. What are some of the places that you're most excited to visit and explore?
Yeah, so I'm most excited to actually go to Russia. Russia, I think it's so unexplored. People like us, Russia seem a bit mysterious, but speaking to the people there, they've been so helpful. They're so friendly, and I can't wait just to see experience the culture there and meet the people. It's going to be really exciting, and I can't wait to go there and just see what it's like. I'm not sure what the food's going to be like in some of these places in the middle of Siberia. So I brought a lot of food with me just in case it's not too good. So I'm prepared for that. But
yeah, I can only imagine you're going to eat some really incredible food and try some very new things.
Yeah.
But if you had to just self-supply and bring your own snacks for the whole trip, what would it be?
Oh, well, actually, I'm going to talk about, I've got two things, one sweet and one savory. Let's start with the savory. So in the UK, we have something called, I've also got it right here. I've got Twiglets. And what these are basically like breadsticks, and they dip them in Marmite. If you guys know what Marmite is, it's like yeast extract or something. But
it is.
I really like it. I think like half the UK population loves it. Half the UK population hates it. There's no one who like thinks, oh, it's all right. As well as that, I've got Jaffa cakes. These are really nice.
Yeah.
classic British snacks. I love Jaffa Cakes, and I'm pretty sure 100% of the UK likes Jaffa Cakes. So these are a must have. I love Jaffa Cakes. Yeah. So good bit of energy as well.
I'm not sure how energetic they will keep you in the long term, but you know, if you had to, you definitely could live on both of those items.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's probably not the most healthy, but it's better than nothing in my opinion.
Definitely. So you're completing this solo trip around the world. Obviously, it's a really big personal goal and, you know, just a flying bucket list item that people think of all the time, but don't actually do it or act on it. Are there any other, you know, reasons why you're doing this trip besides accomplishing this personal goal?
I really want to fly around the world to inspire young people, people my age, to get up and follow their dreams and to aim for, you know, what they think is impossible. You know, I thought this was never going to happen, especially a year ago with coronavirus. I thought, oh, that's the end of it. But here I am, still managed to just about pull through and do it. But as well as that, I also want to raise money for my charity, UNICEF. There's a great charity. My dad used to film in war-torn areas. He used to be a cameraman for the war correspondents and stuff like that. So he's seen what UNICEF does, and because of that, I really want to support UNICEF as well during the around the world flight. So that's why I'm flying around the world, really.
Well, those are definitely some very good reasons. And just back to your point of inspiring, you know, other people to pursue flight and maybe even break your record one day. What do you say to someone who, you know, is thinking about flying around the world and maybe doing it a little bit younger than you are?
I say, absolutely, go ahead and do it. I 100% support them to do that. I feel like, opposing someone who wants to beat your record, that I first like that's dangerous, but also it's just, not good in the aviation community. And, also, I feel like, you know, it improves the safety for their flight, mentoring them a bit and, saving them from some of the hell that that I've gone through in planning this flight. So
definitely. And best answer you could ever have for that, you know, inspire other people and motivate them and help them whenever they do have these big dreams and adventures planned, just like you did. So. Mm-hmm. Well, Travis, I am so excited to see you depart later this week and to follow you along on your journeys. If anyone else wants to follow him along, look him up on Instagram, Travis Ludlow, or also www.aroundtheworldsolo.uk, right?
That's right. Yeah, .co.uk.
.co.uk. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm also on Facebook as well. Travis Ludlow. And I've also got a Facebook page, which is Around the World Solo. If you guys want to follow me, and also I should say, I also just started my Twitter account back up as well, which also Travis Ludlow. So if you want to follow me on there, and on my website as well, I just start up a friendship club as well, if you want to donate to and support my around the world flight as well. So check it out there. Thank you.
So thank you again, Travis, so much for coming on this show. Cannot wait to see you leave. And thank you to everyone for tuning into this episode of Between Two Wings. We'll see you next time.